Adventure. A path paved with bravery and treachery. A pursuit of hope. One that a hero must tread. And with the evils of this world only growing stronger, the time is now for a new adventure to begin. The battle rages on. The search for their champions continues. Is there anyone who is willing to put forth their own life?
Hey, sorry to interrupt, but it's getting a little serious, so we're going to go on to the next section. I hope you understand. Sorry, thanks.
Yeah.
Roll the sound bite. The douchebags are back with a brand new adventure, a new land to explore, and a new intro that's totally not like the last one. In the pursuit of sweet crit rolls and the coolness that comes with it, they are the Tabletop Champions.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Tabletop Champions podcast. I'm Sean, your dungeon master. I'm a math dude. And with me tonight is Kyle, who plays Cam.
Howdy.
Matt, who plays Callus. Or Matt, who plays Cyrus.
Howdy.
Ben, who plays Callus.
Howdy.
Stephanie, who plays Boone.
Howdy.
And Lauren, who plays Brenna.
Howdy.
Hey guys, that was a shit show of an intro.
Yeah.
Mostly my fault, but you know, whatever.
It was all good on my end.
Some things happened last week.
Don't they always?
I don't remember.
At all?
I think Cyrus is having an existential crisis right now.
So, Cyrus, Boone, and Cam are all going to the bar?
Yeah.
Question?
I think so.
I genuinely don't remember what happened last week.
I don't either. That's what they told me like a day or two
well,
ago.
What happened last week is at the end of the episode, Brenna and Callus went to the temple where Brenna could speak with her ancestors, and ghosts appeared and encircled them and then got closer and closer and closer, and that's when we ended the episode.
Under pressure.
So, yeah, I'm a little curious. So, Callus, what are you thinking right now about what's occurring?
So there's just... What am I seeing, Sean?
So, this temple is a ruin. There's, like, no ceiling. It's just some ruined walls. There's, like, an altar. There's a book set to the back, towards the back. And there is just, throughout the rim of the room, there appears to be about 20 what appear to be ghosts or spirits.
Okay.
That are kind of walking forward, encircling both of you. You're standing right behind Brenna.
What do these ghosts look like?
They're all manner of humanoid. There's humans. There's a few Goliaths. There's some gnomes. There's even like a goblin. And they slowly start making their way inward, kind of slow stepping in and circling you guys.
Brenna, what is happening right now?
I believe that Brenna's focused currently.
You know, to be honest, I don't really know. I actually didn't expect this to work. So, Callus, meet the family.
As you're standing there, they get within about a 10-foot tight circle. They are now shoulder to shoulder. All of their eyes appear to be unfocused, and they don't have irises or pupils. They're just kind of blank eyes, blank stares. And they all look very, very serious at both you and Brenna. Brenna, you can kind of break your concentration as these things look glowering at you.
He's a friend?
One of the Goliaths steps out from the group and stands before you, Brenna, and looks down at you, breathing heavily and growls, and then takes his finger and taps your nose and goes, boop! And then they, and then they all start laughing.
Ooh. Ooh, I thought something terrible was going to happen. I was going to be a little upset. But
no.
You got
nothing's
me.
Nothing's going to happen. How are you, my child?
Confused.
Why are you confused?
I don't... Seems to be a lot of stuff going on with this group that I'm in. But the one thing I noticed the most, though, was the last time I called upon your assistance in a fight, I was missing someone. Who was missing?
The mood of the group becomes somber as they look around and they look at each other, and then the Goliath is like, that was young Leon. He's hiding right now.
Why is he hiding?
He's a little scared.
Of what?
I know you don't know our stories, Brenna, but it's important that you do. There are a great many reasons why we were chosen to be the ancestors that watch over you, and in turn, we would hope that you would watch over us.
Well, I don't know how I can do that, but I'll try.
And the Goliath takes his hand and looks down at it as like a swirl begins to form in his hand. And then he outstretches it on your forehead and touches your forehead. You feel a cold sensation, and then you feel your consciousness turn and contort.
Ooh.
As you see brilliant, bright, white light, and then you hear the crackling of a fire. Your vision is somewhere else now.
Okay.
You'd appear, you're standing about 4 feet tall at this point. You are sitting in a yurt in front of a crackling fire. There appears to be a human woman cooking something on the fire as she then pulls it out and serves it to another human and then serves some to you. And she says, Leon, eat your supper.
Do I like have control over my body or you do. This body?
You do. As you outstretch your plate, I'm guessing, to receive whatever she's cooked for you.
Sure, yeah.
It's your favorite. It's elk stew.
Okay. What are my, like, I assume I'm in Leon's body.
You would assume that.
Okay.
As you look down at your hands, they appear to be the hands of a child. Probably no more than 8.
Well, that's interesting. I guess I'm just gonna go ahead and eat some of the soup.
Okay. And this woman begins conversing, talking about the raid from earlier and a few hunts that they've gone on. This is a very, like, barbarian tribal yurt that you're in. It can be packed up on a moment's notice and be ready to move. You've spent a great amount of your history in places like this.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very similar to home, but it's oddly different. All of a sudden, there is a scream from outside the tent and a ruckus that happens. The woman gets up and grabs her sword and a hand axe, and she says, "Watch the children," as she sprints out, and the man comes and grabs you and tries to throw you under some furs.
Okay. I hide under the furs, but I want to see what happens next. Okay.
So you're peeking out.
Peeking out, yeah.
You hear a familiar, glorious battle roar. As you can hear this woman from outside as she begins fighting, you can definitely hear a scuffle of swords striking. There's some horses whinnying, and there also begins to be the sound of a fire. More and more fires crackling from outside. You can smell burning in the air as though something is raiding this group.
Oh, boy.
And as the man grabs a warhammer and is standing in the tent, something throws open the front door. It appears to be a female drow.
Ooh.
As she looks at the man, and he goes to pull back his warhammer, she pulls out a hand crossbow before he can do anything and shoots him directly in the throat as blood begins to pour from his mouth.
Okay.
And she then begins to laugh and chuckle as she surveys the room, picking things up absentmindedly as the fight continues to rage outside.
Okay. I'm going to do a very Brenna thing. And I'm going to wait till she's closer, and then I'm going to go for her kneecaps.
Okay. Yep, so she starts making her way around the room, kind of laughing, touching things. There's a candle on the there's a fire in the middle of the room. As she pulls a torch from somewhere and lights the torch, and then begins making her way around the yurt, lighting the roof on fire. And at one point, she gets closer to you.
As soon as she gets close to me, I'm going for her kneecap.
Okay, make me an attack roll with a +1.
Okay. Please be good. 8.
8.
Ouch.
You slice out at her shins and barely graze her, doing no damage, but leaving a small little bit. She says in a language, and she grabs you by your hair, and she lifts you up to look you in the eye. This drow female is missing one eye. There appears to be a huge cut across her face as she smiles at you. And she pulls a dagger out from behind her and puts it to your throat. and she mumbles something incoherently as you feel it bite into the flesh of your neck. You begin to cough and sputter as your vision grows darker and hazier until there's nothing left to see. And then you wake up as Brenna.
As she's like clutching her neck and just trying to make sure there's not a scratch or anything there. What? What?
That is what? That's how young Leon fell. He must have seen something that spooked him.
Oh,
or he
shit.
Would not come to your aid.
It was the drow. We fought the drow.
That would probably be it.
Oh boy.
You could try to set this straight for him. Or if you move on, he would probably come back. But this is your life to live, Brenna, and we stand behind you. Whatever your choice is, it is yours and yours alone.
But how would I set this straight? Like...
You grew up a barbarian. You know blood begets blood.
I do.
And you know justice is served by your clan.
It is.
And not only by your clan, but your hand. I think you know what to do.
I just don't even know where to start, I guess.
This is just one of many steps you will take in your journey, Brenna.
Ooh, this would be a lot of steps involved, isn't it?
And he puts his arm on your shoulder and he says, any step forward is progress.
Hey, so this is the first time we've ever actually had a full-on conversation. What's your name?
You don't know me? I'm Saul.
Thanks, Saul, for partying along with me.
We will look out for you, Brenna. Look out for yours.
I will, and I only think it's fair that I do the same for you, too. I'll try to set things straight with Leon.
You do what you must, Brenna, and I trust you. And we all do, as they look around, and everybody kind of chuckles, and it's like, you've been entertaining thus far.
Ooh, that's your mistake. Oh, boy.
We do not make mistakes with family.
I won't let you down. I'll try not to.
Just do your best.
Yeah. I'll do that.
And he smiles, and the rest of them kind of cajole a little bit, and then they all get serious again, and they're like, okay, now we got to do our spooky ghost exit thing for your friend.
Ooh, yeah.
As they all slowly begin to back away, and then they turn into ethereal mist, disappearing into the darkness as now you are left in the ruins of this temple alone.
Well, that was unexpected.
Yes, that was... not something I've seen before.
You could not understand what they were saying. And it appears that Brenna was speaking a language you did not understand.
What exactly what are you talking about? I could not understand you.
We're speaking plain common. Oh, God, you're going to ask me to remember stuff. So one of my ancestors kind of peaced out before a fight against the drow, and I got a little concerned. So I asked them for help, and typically they just kind of ignore me, so this is the first time we got an audience, so that's kind of cruel. And basically, Leon is the ancestor who was missing. Leon has a very terrible history with drow, and I got to witness that firsthand. She kind of like rubs her hand across her throat a little bit. And I got to make it right to him.
Well, there's no secrets with Brenna. Just an open book this one.
She's not going to go into gory detail.
No, I know. I was just surprised that you were like so open to be like, yep, I'm going to talk about all this. I just think it's interesting as a character point that you're so trusting.
As opposed to literally everyone else.
Yeah.
You are like super trusting.
She just likes to see the best in people, even if they're terrible people.
Would you say she likes to see people make good choices?
She does like to see people make good choices.
All right.
That's
sorry,
her shit.
Continue.
No, you're good.
That's her shit.
That's her shit. Callus, I think we should take that mission from Trebek with the drow. I mean, my ancestors, they give me power. It's only fair that I help them in return, is it not?
I suppose that you have a point. And you can't turn your back on the family.
Oh, this family, at least. The other ones did, but... this one I can count. So yeah, cool talk.
Let's cut back to the bar.
Thanks, Ben.
What are you guys doing back in the town?
Drinking.
Yeah, I'm probably wandering around the town, actually, maybe. I don't know that I would just sit in a bar. That sounds boring.
Okay. Since Cyrus is in the bar, I'm in the bar.
Okay. Cyrus is in the bar. You're out wandering the town.
Yeah.
You hear all of a sudden, you. I recognize you.
Do you now?
Yeah, I can see exactly by your stature. I know where you're from. And you recognize this person as a warrior from Gildas, based on their armor.
I think you might be mistaken.
You would recognize them as... Hold on, I gotta pull up the page really quick. you would recognize this guy as being from the House of the Steel Rose. And he's, like, at least the armor that he's wearing, and he's like, yeah, I know you. I'd recognize that gait anywhere. What's a man from Gildas doing here?
Isn't that a question you could ask yourself?
I'm here getting drunk before I go back to the clan tomorrow to get ready for war. I'm guessing you'll be leaving as well?
See you there.
All right. Don't let House Macwell down.
Oh, I don't know. I've been working pretty
hard. None shall break our shields and the thorns of the rose pierce deep. As he touches his chest.
I point at him and I say, ditto. And I just walk away.
He goes back to drinking as you continue to walk the town.
Yeah. All right. I'm not going to kill him. Okay. I was just wondering what was going to happen there. But okay. Good to go.
In the tavern, Cyrus and Boone, what are you guys doing?
I think Cyrus is just, like, nursing a mug of mead and, like, doodling. Like, just, like, that's what helps him stay at ease. You know, that's kind of his thing to keep calm and all that.
Okay. What about Boone?
I'm drinking my tea and watching Cyrus.
You see a very sad man.
I mean, you know, I just want to make sure you don't do anything stupid. I'm very wary of him, and like Sean, legit, I'm always going to have an eye on him. So I'm just sitting there and I'm sipping the bar. Yeah. So I'm just drinking my tea, observing him, you know, observing people around.
Not
making sure
anything.
A demon doesn't come out of his mouth.
Right, exactly. Thanks, Ben. I don't want any more demons coming out of your mouth. Probably not going to talk to you very much, just in case.
It's like... My adventure is like, you know, it's kind of rude to stare. If you're going to be right there, you might as well just talk.
I disagree. And I just continue to stare at him. Yeah, unless there's anything else that piques my interest in the bar, Sean, that's all I'm doing.
You're just sitting and watching?
Yeah.
That's kind of creepy.
Okay. So from inside the bar, you hear a loud voice from outside. Pretty much all of you guys hear this from different areas as though a voice is being amplified from the town, the tavern thoroughfare. You recognize this voice as the voice of Trebek. And he says, townsfolk, we must speak. As people begin flooding out of the tavern and everyone begins amassing in the thoroughfare.
I guess.
What are you guys doing?
I would try to, at hearing that, I would sort of make my way towards the far, far back of the group of, like, people that are huddled up. Maybe if I see people I recognize in the crowd, I'd move over to, you know, Cyrus and Boone if they're outside. But otherwise, I'm going to just kind of hang towards the back.
Okay. If we're there, we'll go.
Yeah, you guys are making your way back to town. You see this kind of everybody amassing in the town square as you guys make your way back to town. All of your guys' group is kind of separate. And he says, I bring ill tidings to the town. Recently, as I'm sure many of you are aware, there was attack on a small Svirfneblin town in the Underdark. It appears through our intel we've discovered that not only are the drow attacking there, but they have plans to attack here on the surface into Silver Strings itself. This is a very ill omen, because even though they are a large drow town, I think this is not without motivation from some other outside source. I ask you, as citizens of Silvered Strings, will you stand up and assist in a plan that we have concocted? And the town kind of looks around, some people kind of mutter, and then everybody starts saying, yeah, of course we will. and the town kind of gets in an uproar, and then Trebek kind of puts his hands out for everybody to calm down. He's like, "We've been sending people down to the city. I'm sure some of you have been already to the Drow city, seeing its outskirts, knowing the foul, vile nature of the place itself. I fear that we cannot do much without a direct assault on the city. I have spoken with some of the more prominent members of the town, and we've devised a plan to attack the Drow city if you will help us." And the crowd, you know, some people are murmuring, but a lot of people are cheering. A lot of people are excited about this. He says, "But we think that there's something else going on. We need a strike force. We need a secret strike force to go in while we assault. We need them to go in the back and figure out whatever intel they can from inside the city. I know that a lot of you are going to want to fight in this, but I don't know that it can be any of the townsfolk themselves, because they are known to them."
At this point, does the whole town just like slowly turn?
And he looks over at you guys and he's like, "I think you know who I'm talking about. If you want to set yourselves right and get everything done properly, I want you to come see me at the Bard College. If not, we can find someone else." But as he scans through the crowd and he's like, "I know you're here and I know you're listening. I'll make it worth your while."
That perks up Cyrus's ears. It's like, payments is always good. I say we go to the Bard's Guild.
Did we ever like huddle up actually and regroup? I don't know if we're all together.
I don't think you guys have regrouped yet. And if not, you know, you guys can be on your way. Welcome to the town of Silver Strings. I hope you enjoyed your stay.
Hashtag passive aggressive.
Either we'll chat soon or we won't. Everybody else get prepared for war at dawn. Leave.
I think I'm staring intently at Callus.
Yes, well, let's meet up with the others and
speak
with them.
Brynna's gonna like push her way through the crowd to find the rest of the crew.
Yeah, I guess we at some point figure out a way to make all that work, and we're standing in the same place now. Okay. I don't know where we all were, but magic, right? I mean, I don't know if anyone disagrees. Otherwise, I think we're fine. All right, so I know I fucked up back there, but did I fuck up enough that we have to go to war with a Drow city? Because, like,
wait a second. The super secret strike force.
I'm not going to lie. I did kind of like the sound of that. It does sound badass, but.
It does. Kim. Yes.
Do we really want to do that? Those Drow fucked us up.
I gotta fuck up the Drow now.
Alright, we gotta find out. We gotta find out. What does that mean?
Just keep going. You gotta find out what?
Is there like an extra easy way to like, is there like a magical raid spray or like some sort of like spider potion? Like, if we know we're gonna have to fight like all of the spiders, can we do like, I don't know.
Just gas the city? With a bunch of foggers?
Fucking bug bombs. Let's just throw some shit in. What's the best way to deal with these things? Has anybody ever really fought a bunch of spiders before? I've, like, mostly fought, you know, humanoid things.
You know, fire tends to fix a lot of our problems.
We should just go ahead and go to the Bard Guild and, like, discuss strategy before we make a final decision, yes?
I mean, we know what we're going to fight, right? I mean, let's go. I mean, we might as well get
Yes, but it probably wouldn't hurt to have a strategy meeting first.
I thought that's kind of what we were doing.
But I mean, now. I'm suggesting we go to the Bard Guild, have a strategy meeting with Trebek, maybe get him to provide us some manpower as a distraction.
That's what their plan is it not?
It sounds like, from what you guys heard, that the city itself is going to be attacking the Drow city, and while that's happening, he was asking if it would be your guys' job to sneak in the back.
Come on! Super secret strike force!
So it's like, we mostly, it seems like the plan got mostly discussed. We just gotta go, I guess, find out how much money we're gonna get to be SSSF.
Usually, strike forces tend to have the ability to charge very much for their services.
How about
triple SF? That sounds better. Triple SF.
Yeah. Why don't we just go fucking talk to them?
Okay.
Yeah,
so all right.
We need to know what exactly he wants us to accomplish.
Yeah.
Hey, art boy, draw a logo. Triple SF. Try to make this one not evil.
Here's a quick sketch. I don't know how well it's going to turn out. You kind of put me on the spot here.
We could sketch 17. And walk. We could do some drafts.
The first one he says, we say no to.
Yeah. I imagine no. I imagine there's like six no's, and then we pass around a maybe, and we're just, you know, we're iterating. We're trying to get that logo down.
What does a 17 write, so she what just does like check marks? What does a 17 look like, Sean?
What for what?
For the logo.
It's pretty good. It's a pretty solid logo.
Roller logo, perfect.
And basically, I'm gonna throw a gauntlet out there. Tweet at Tabletop Chips your triple SF super secret Strike Force logo. And
it's like the shittiest Rainbow Six.
Yep. Hey! We might be pretty awesome at what we do. You never know.
No, we probably never will be.
Oh, true. Gotta crush my dreams, don't you?
That's what I'm here for.
Aw.
All right. On we go. All
right, so you guys going to the Bard's Guild?
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah. As you approach the Bard's Guild, you see a familiar face exiting the front of it. It appears to be Cadran Morgrier, followed by what appears to be another hooded figure as he looks at you, stops for a second, bows slightly towards Cyrus, and then continues walking with this person that he's walking.
He really likes you.
Would I recognize this guy?
Yeah, he's the guy with the that told you he could help you rid you of the painting.
Oh, this is like, that was kind of odd. I think I remember him mentioning something he might be able to help with my current problem.
Yeah, I think, didn't I tell you to go talk to him? Hey, buddy.
I don't. Is now a good time?
Yes.
What you said some creepy shit earlier to my friend.
I did.
I did.
No. He says, yes, I am aware of your friend's troubles, or at least a certain portion of them. I have spoken to Trebek to offer you something in hopes that you will help the town.
And what would that be?
Knowledge.
That sounds useless.
You don't be too sure, Brenna. Intel in warfare is always useful.
Knowledge is only useless to those who do not know how to utilize it.
Mm-mm. I don't give a shit.
I was like, what's your intelligence, Lauren?
He says, yes.
Pretty good, actually.
You appear to give no shits, my friend. But perhaps speaking with Trebek will assist you.
I'm giving him like a magical checkout, by the way.
Okay. Give me a perception check.
No, I did a thing. I'm trying to sense some shit, basically.
Where did you roll that?
You know, in the roll 20 thing.
I should probably log on there.
Yeah, you know, do you know that that website that we use to run the game of D&D? Yeah, it's almost like I clicked the spell button associated with it, and then it happened.
What?
Yeah, it's so strange. But basically, it's. Are they a celestial fiend, undead, or is there one within 60 feet of me? And if they are, I know what type they are.
Cadran is a human, isn't he? Or is he a tiefling?
Nope. He is a fallen Asimar.
Oh, okay. You sense celestial.
Hmm. Okay. I'm not saying anything. I'm just fucking eyeballing this dude.
But it's a very trace element of celestial.
Okay.
So, yeah, Cadran then nods, and he puts his hand behind his back as the person that he's with takes the reins of a horse that has been tied to the front of the Bard's Guild. And as he does so, you notice that the hands are dark skin tone, as though they are the skin of a drow. He undoes the horse and then leads it with its reins towards a very large mansion following by Cadran.
This town is very diverse. I like it.
It seems to be a very free town. That's you don't see that too often.
Equal opportunists?
Well, either way, we should go and speak with Trebek.
Yeah.
See what this plan is.
And see how much he is willing to pay.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, so you guys going in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. You guys go in and you follow the same staircase up that you had gone in before, making your way up to the loft, that which leads to Tarek's office. You hear a faint fiddle music coming from the hallway as then you knock on the door. Do you not? Do you open? What do you guys do?
We knock. We're polite.
Okay. The music stops. You kind of hear sniffling coming from inside. He says, one moment, as you guys stand outside and wait for a good minute or two.
Are you okay?
Yes, I'm fine. Yeah, just give me a second. As he then, after about a minute, opens the door. He says, "Ah, adventurers. Sorry I grabbed you with that quite obvious plot hook, but..."
I thought it was really subtle.
"We needed a strike force. And unfortunately, those that are familiar with the town are more motivated for war than you would be. I would have to entice you folk with coin or something else." And he says, "So why don't y'all come in? Let's have a chat." I need motions for you guys to come in.
Okay, we walk in.
Yeah.
And he says, "Now, obviously I can offer you some coin, perhaps a magic item, you know, get you guys well paid, but a figure that, well, Cadrin, a member of our town, seems to think that one of your allies has an issue. An issue that Cadrin feels he can help with. So he would like to offer you this. I offer you this as a sense of good faith." And he takes a scroll and he hands it out to the group.
Cyrus takes a hold of the scroll and looks at it.
It appears to be an order of writ to see someone by the name of Drakon in the town of Gildas. he says, "This is a
son of a bitch.
A writ to meet a high cleric there that knows of what he refers to as your condition. Perhaps it could help you. I offer you that freely without any obligation."
"I'm afraid to tell you this, but your writ is kind of useless for me, at least."
"Oh, wait a second. Wait. Time the fuck out, my dude. What if he's actually offering us to help you with your problem? You can't stand there and deny that you don't have a problem."
"I have a problem, yes. But I'm saying I cannot enter Gildas."
"Why is that?"
"I was exiled from there."
"So we sneak you in. I do it all the time. Wait, hold on."
"Trebek, is there somebody else that has this same level in another town?"
Cadrin was very specific about this person. She appears to be one of their highest clerics and is very familiar with what may or may not be going on with your friend. I'm not privy to that information. He just wanted to use that to be able to sway you to maybe assist the town.
Would I recognize this person, Sean?
You wouldn't. Not even a little bit. You could roll a history check if you would like.
I mean, considering who my character is.
Yeah, roll me a history check.
Can I also roll natural a history
20.
Check?
Okay, you are, you know, with your natural 20, even though you've been out of town, this appears to be a cleric that was brought in from the city of Sin Aemon recently. Very high renown in Sin Aemon. Very well known as far as fiendish circles go and dealing with fiendish magic.
It's like, "I know this person. She's..."
Know this person. You've heard of this person.
It's like, "I've heard of this person. She's a VIP. And all VIPs in Gildas would be protected by wardens. I could not get near her."
You would recognize that this parchment would specifically give you access to her, to the point that it would even break your ability, or like, it's such a high writ that it doesn't matter if you're exiled or not. You have been given an audience, which means you could enter the city to see this cleric.
So that's your cinnamon girl. Sorry, just trying to make a cinnamon girl joke here. I also don't want to go to Gildos, and I mean this in the nicest way, my dude.
Trebek says, "Excuse me, I always thought the pronunciation was Gildos.
It is.
Am I wrong, or?"
"Nope, it's Gildos."
"Yeah, you're right.
Oh, okay. I guess you're right. No. I think it's been a while since I've even heard of the place. So, Gildos it is."
I'm sorry. That was such a dick thing. I'm sorry. Please take that back. I feel bad now.
Nope,
I'm sorry, Matt.
Boone,
I'm not speaking to you anymore.
Sorry.
It's going to be hard to do a podcast that way.
but yeah, it's like, Gildos is a common slang term towards the city for who do not agree with the me, who may see with the city as a warmongering city.
Cam, I don't think
as opposed to what it is, a warmongering city.
Right. I'm not saying it isn't, but I'm just saying its proper term name is Gildas, the slang is Gildos.
Referencing
way.
The I get it. Referencing those the dildo flowers, the one that look like penises. I see what I see what you're saying there. I get the joke.
Oh my God,
so that it's like the joke is that it's penis town. I see what you did there. All right. Anyway, let's move on. Obviously, I can pay you. The town has scraped together the coffers and is willing to offer you 1,500 gold pieces, as well as...
This is for the drow triple SF work.
For the mission.
Okay.
As well as... well, we're still waiting to hear back from the local magic shop. They're still rusting together their supply, but they would be willing to offer you something as well, an item of great rarity, should you assist the town.
So what exactly is it you require of us?
So he pulls it. So then he's like, I'm glad you asked. And he walks behind the table and he pulls out a long piece of parchment and rolls it out with a whip and sets it down on the table. And he pulls out a couple pieces of like chess pieces from the next area. He's like, this right here, this is the Drow City. This right here, this is our entrance into the Underdark. This right here, this is your entrance into the Underdark. As far as we know, the Drow are unaware that we know of this entrance. You can thank Kibbs and Cordata for discovering this one.
Cool.
And he says,
I think I'll pass.
Our plan is to enter here and here in two different forces, work our way down below, and assault the city from two separate directions. As we have them distracted, if you notice here, and he points to a small area on the back of the Drow City, he's like, There's a little drainage canal that leads through some fungus back here. Some people who have been infiltrating the town discovered this. It's a secret way in. We feel that these Drow know a little bit more than what they're leading on, and this is not just a effort by the Drow. We need you to sneak into one of the largest mansion you see in town. It exists right next to the temple to Lolth in there. You'll notice it. Big 3-4-storied building, tapered roof. We believe that that is where the matron of the town lives. In there, we believe that there's a piece of information that would help our town.
Any resistance we should be aware of outside the normal gods and
all the resistance. I do not feel that this will be an easy mission, but I do feel that with our distraction, we all stand a good chance of success.
What is it that we're looking for? Is it just this secret?
There have been rumors that Cinnamon hired these Drow to attack us. We do not have proof, but we need proof. Greater political matters are at play, and I need you to find this, otherwise I fear we're sunk.
So you're looking for a contract of some sort?
Exactly. Now, we're relying on hearsay right now and what we've seen and heard from these Drow. But we need proof. Otherwise, we don't have a leg to stand on in the community.
So, what are you going to do if there is no proof?
I don't know. I'm afraid we may have to disband as a city because Cinnamon would probably be posed to take us over, especially if we make an allegation like that without proof.
You haven't made an allegation like that yet, have you?
We haven't. But I fear that this will just get worse and worse and the pressure is going to be put on us. You see, we sit right between Cinnamon and Thistlepot Junction on the King's Road, the path that they've taken to get food for their city for generations. And just because we sprung up, they feel like they can control us. We want to stand ourselves apart in the national community. We want to stand ourselves as our own town. We can't do that with Cinnamon breathing down our necks. If we found this piece of proof, we may be able to stand against them by finding allies. Without this piece of proof, I think that we'll just be taken over.
What made you think it was them in the first place?
We heard from a female Drow in the Underdark.
So you have an insider?
We do, but we don't have written proof. No, we do not have an insider. We overheard this. We had some spies down there.
Huh. Okay.
He takes a deep breath and he points to the map and he's like, obviously this is the town. And he then rustles between some papers. He's like, this is the best layout we have currently. And he lays out a map that's kind of crudely drawn of the city in front of you. And he points and he's like, this is your point of entry. This appears to be on the northeast corner. There appears to be a little flowing river going through beneath some walls. And he's like, there appear to be a few noble houses in here or different houses. I don't know if you know much about Drow or the Underdark, but they are a matriarchal society. The women run everything. So we believe that these are the houses of a few of the matriarchs. Just past that, you'll see the town square. The town square, directly adjacent to it, is the temple to Lulth. And then just beyond that appears to be the head matron's house. That is where we believe where you will find the intel.
Okay.
Is this entrance guarded in any way, or is there checkpoints we have to worry about, or is it completely unguarded?
We haven't personally been through it. I can't tell you about the possibility of guards being there, but some of our townsfolk have not only seen it from the outside, but we have also had several groups in disguise make their way into the town and be able to see where the river flows in. It's only about a 40-foot jaunt from the exterior wall to the interior city, but I do not have intel on what lies below there.
So immediately assume there are hostiles waiting for us.
I would assume that no matter where you go in this adventure, there are going to be hostiles.
That's pretty fucking fair.
It's the Underdark. There's hostiles everywhere. You're probably going to get into a fight or two on your way down.
I mean, you wouldn't pay us if we weren't going to have to do some shit.
I wouldn't pay you 1,500 gold pieces and a high-valued magic item as well as a piece of intel that gets you into Gildos out of exile if it weren't worth it.
Okay, when's the attack happening?
It happens tomorrow at dawn.
Tomorrow at dawn, okay.
Usually the Drow raid overnight. We figure that this will be when they're at their weakest.
That's
what time is it now?
It's about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So you would be able to get an 8-hour rest and some planning time.
All right.
The payment seems fair. I don't know about you, but I'm willing to take the job.
I'm down.
I can help with this.
Well, it's better than going to Gildo's.
Oh, which reminds me. Hey, Cyrus, how about you give me that pass that you have? Can I just hold on to it for you?
I suppose. Here.
Perfect. Really? Thank you.
Really? Oh man. Okay.
What?
I know. I'm just surprised that he just handed it over like that.
I was thinking that too.
I know. I thought I was going to have to do something, but here we are. Okay, now I have this.
He's like, Cyrus doesn't care. He wants almost nothing to do with the city.
Oh, okay, never mind. Okay, yeah, no, totally. I'm not going to make you go.
Okay, so what are you guys doing? Trubak says, is there anything else that you have questions about that I might be able to assist with?
I think we got all the answers we can get at the moment.
You don't happen to have a couple bitchin'-ass magic weapons you can give us, right?
So you're looking for advance on payment?
I mean, we might die. It'd be kind of nice to have some of that now.
Well, I was hoping you'd be able to barter with the magic shop afterwards, but if I can have your word, our town is only as good as its word itself, and I hope that you're the same. You do seem like trustworthy individuals, but as a sign of good faith, if you'd like to barter for it before your adventure, I can give it to you on loan until the deed is completed.
I didn't think that would work.
What is this item?
With the tweet.
Oh, it's between you and the magic shop. And he pulls out a piece of parchment and writes something down. And looks at you. Looks at you, Cam, and hands it over.
I take it.
Okay.
Pleasure doing business with you. And I hope I one day actually see you again. We'll see.
I do believe we'll see each other again. Take care of yourself.
I think there's a good chance.
Okay. So what are you guys doing? Are you heading down to the magic item shop?
Might as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Shit. Now I need to think of a magic item I need.
Is there a name for the magic item shop, Lauren, that you know of?
I don't think there is a name for it.
So you guys make your way into the town square and you see a sign that says Waldorf's Whimsical Wonders.
Nice.
Let's go. Yes. Come on. I want to see what they got.
This does not sound like
goes in.
You go in and
has weapons.
Ding 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 ding. As you guys all make your way in, the bell rings and he's like, "Oh, yes. Hello.
Welcome to Waldorf's Rubical Wonders. Is there something I can help you with here today?
We were told to come to you to barter for a magic item.
I hope you
payment.
Brought coin. They don't come cheap, you know.
I brought paper, and I hand it over.
Paper's only good as the name on it. Let me see that paper.
Trebek.
I hand him the paper.
It says Trebek. So
he looks over.
It.
Yes. Okay, your paper is good here.
Damn, Skippy.
This paper is good for what appears to be any rare item in our shop that we have.
What do you have?
Allow me to check our coffers.
As then he pulls out a big tome and sets it down with the and begins flipping through the page, and he's like, rare.
Okay, it appears that right now we have a Ring of the Ram. We have a Potion of Heroism, a Potion of Clairvoyance, a Ring of X-Ray Vision. What else do we have here? As he kind of keeps scrolling through the pages. A Staff of the Woodlands, a Sword of Wounding, and a Sword of Wounding.
What kind of sword?
If you cut something with it, it cannot regain the hit points that you've taken from the creature.
Ooh.
Also, when you hit the creature with it, it takes 1d4 necrotic damage and must make a throw to feel, or must try to feel healthier.
Ooh, that sounds fancy.
Yes. There also appears to be a Wand of Paralysis.
Also sounds good. The Ring
and
of the Ram actually doesn't sound bad.
Wings of Flying.
Let's go back to that one real quick. What was that?
Wings of Flying. Flying is overrated.
I don't know. Flying always seems to be always the ability to be stealthily in, be in great heights would be a great way to acquire intelligence.
The gnome looks up at you and he says, "You already appear to be at a fine enough height."
Hey, we short people gotta look out for each other, am I right?
I don't take kindly to being called short.
Well, I'm short, so it's okay.
Generally, I would give you a thwapping with my quill, but apparently Trebek has sent you, so I must treat you with some respect.
What do we want?
So, it's only one item, right?
Yes.
And what is this Wings of Flying thing? Is it a ring? How's that work?
It's a cloak that you wear it, and you speak its command word, it turns the cloak into a pair of bat wings or bird wings of your choice, and they work on your back for an hour.
That's pretty cool. Cam, you got the last really cool stuff.
I know.
Honestly, I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't mind having that.
Are you going to go to Gildas and take care of your problem?
If that's the price for it, I guess I must.
I vote cursed. Person cursed by demon doesn't get magic item until they're cured.
Ooh, second.
Okay. Agreed.
you already had your one magic item.
And see where it got you.
I'm sorry.
Y'all are assholes.
Poor Matt.
Matt, you need to get like that cloak that changes colors, like baby's first magic item, to show that you can be trusted.
Well, to be fair, I do have that cloak of billowing I never used.
You do have that.
Okay.
That's completely useless.
Listen here, I don't have all day. Are we here to do business or are we here to fuck spiders?
Hey, I say that too.
Someone has to make a play.
Callus, what's your thoughts?
Well, I was interested in some of the other things you mentioned. The ring of X-ray vision sounds useful. And then there is that sword. But,
the sword sounds really cool.
Flying is always something that I think would be useful.
We could get the Wings of Flying and trade them. So one day I get them, one day you get them, the next day Boone gets them.
I'd rather borrow that dope-ass sword.
It seems like all of you want to fly, and I'm here to make a deal.
As he eyes the group over. And he's like, I have something you might be interested in. As he goes into the back, and comes back out, and he's carrying a roll of something that's about 6-7 feet wide, and it's fairly dusty, and he blows it off as he then undoes the paper and unfurls it, and it appears to be a magic carpet. A carpet of some kind. A rug.
Yes. Yes.
Wow, I think this will really tie the whole cabin together.
He says, someone brought this into town not too long ago. It seemed a bit old and dusty, so I made him a minor offer on it. This is a carpet of flying. Tell me, how many gold pieces do you have?
That paper, that's all I have.
The paper doesn't necessarily fall into this agreement.
How much gold do I have? How much gold does Brenna
have? If you guys can scrape up 500 gold pieces plus that paper.
Ooh. I have 195.
I'd be willing to make this deal.
How do I have 185? I
My sheet says 20. That can't be right, right?
I have 130.
I also have 130.
Okay. Wait, how much was it again?
500 gold pieces. Plus that
okay,
note.
Okay, so between
Trebek.
The four of us.
I'd take out 20 and give it to you guys. I'm like, I don't know, man. I don't know what happened. I thought I had more than this.
Did you not take your share of the payment from our first job?
You know me, man. I'm not good with notes or keeping track of things. At one point, someone just rifled through my gold purse like twice. So I don't know what's happening.
Okay, so I'll toss in 130, which will give us 195.
As enthralling as this conversation is, I'm assuming that you guys have 500 gold pieces you can throw in on this?
I think so.
Yes. Yeah.
Let's sort this out character sheet-wise afterwards. Is this the deal that you guys are making?
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
Yes. Says,
all right, 500 gold pieces. As he takes the coin from all of you guys, he takes Cam's, and he's like, and they're a little bit like, dusty and dirty, and he's like, oh, okay, I'll just put these here, and he begins to stack, and he's like, 500. Okay, 500 gold pieces, the note from Trebek. Do we have a deal?
Pleasure doing business with you.
A pleasure as well. Come back and see me anytime at Waldorf's Whimsical, whatever this place is.
Triple dubs.
Thank you.
Triple dubs. Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, but I'm
like
listen,
that indeed.
I'm on a branding kick, my man. First one's free.
He says, have a good day, adventurers.
Bye.
He doesn't say anything back to you.
Oh, that's fine.
Spending all that Rude. Gold was rather painful.
What are we going to do now?
Fly?
Well, yes, obviously.
Yes.
Let me get this straight.
Whoever's holding it, Brenna is pestering them.
Let me get this straight. We just spent 500 gold pieces on a carpet of flying. When we're going into the underdark.
It could be
if
useful.
If we survive, we'll want it. I know we went there to get something to help us survive, but dude, magic flying carpet.
It could fly us out of a sticky situation.
Or to a whole new world.
I'm going to punch you.
I thought it was good, personally.
No, it was.
You're just jealous you didn't do it first.
No, I'm just trying to play D&D.
Well, we can't do puns and references.
Fuck me sideways,
someone roll me a
D4. God.
I'm scared.
Uh-oh.
I'll do it.
2.
Okay, this carpet is 5 feet by 7 feet. It can carry 600 pounds, and it has a flying speed of 40 feet.
That's not too bad.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
So it can't carry the whole party, but it can carry at least like 3 of you.
How big was 7 foot by 5 foot?
Wait, which one of us is the major problem there? 600 pounds? I feel like,
I think we can make that
work. I'm not Minos this time, so we don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
I mean, well, you guys are all wearing, like, super heavy armor, though.
Yeah.
We'll
discuss
not
the weight calculations, when it comes up. Yeah. But, okay, so what are you guys doing?
I guess we're resting till we go to the entrance.
Yeah. So you guys exit into the thoroughfare. There appears to...
Brenna's playing on that carpet. I'm just letting you know right now.
There appears to be bards playing some preparation for battle music. There's people sharpening swords. Some people look afraid, some people look nervous, but there's an overall attitude of excitement, as though people are wanting this issue dealt with and they are prepared to do so. This appears to be a town of... Though it is a ragtag bunch of misfits, they do appear to be getting to be well-seasoned adventurers. It's almost second nature to them to prep for things like this. There's a buzz in the air, if you will. So what are you guys doing? Are you resting? Or are you?
I think Cyrus would be attracted by all the buzz of Cromartory. You know, everybody's so excited and all that. Maybe offering like a portrait for groups, like you never know.
Last group selfie.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Get your vaguely evil portraits here. Get your vaguely evil portraits here.
Like for a small fee of one silver piece.
Okay. So are you offering your skills to people?
Yeah.
Okay. Roll me a performance check for the first group you see.
16.
Okay. Yeah. They look you over. They offer you a silver piece, and it appears to be a couple dwarves that you hastily sketch and then begin filling with a lacquer of paint as then it begins to come out. And it's almost like a caricature, but it looks really good, and they are both very pleased with it. They offer you 5 silver pieces as a tip.
Oh, sweet.
Is this the only group that you're doing?
I'll do one more.
Okay. Roll me a performance check.
13.
Okay. You draw this portrait, and you feel very, very confident about it. And as you finish, you hand the portrait over, and this elf goes, "Why would you draw this?"
What do you mean?
And she turns the painting around, and it's her with a slit throat and blood pouring out of it.
Oh, no.
I don't think that's
very funny.
I'm completely sorry. Here's 2 silver as an apology.
I don't need your money. And she throws your painting back at you and turns and walks away.
Man, you can't have any nice things.
I have a problem.
My first step is admitting it.
I really want to end the episode there with him just saying, "I have a problem," I figure we need to get somewhere first. So, okay, so what are you guys doing now?
You mean aside from flying around on a carpet?
Yes.
Oh, Bruna's
are you guys
having
testing
a blast.
Out the carpet?
Yeah.
Hell okay. Yes.
We're trying to do
so
tricks.
So, who all's going on the carpet?
I think Brenna got on first, and I'm with her or waiting patiently to go second.
So you guys are sitting on the ground on the carpet. What do you do?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think you start by sitting, but then you got to try surfing it, and then you got to keep, you work your way up.
You guys are just hanging out on a rug.
Yeah. Okay. We have to say some magic words, right? That's how this works, right, Callus? Right?
I've never flown a carpet before.
Oh, is there like a times per day thing that we probably should be mindful of?
I don't know. Did we get a fake
Were there
rug?
Instructions?
You did not receive any instructions. You didn't ask for any instructions.
Okay. I've got this.
Dabra.
Fly! And she waves her hand.
Nothing happens.
Please?
Nothing happens.
Can I do an arcana check on that?
Yeah.
8.
You can't tell anything.
She looks very heartbroken.
I lean over and I start poking at it magically. It's a 20 arcana roll.
It's definitely magic. It is what would be the magical carpet's magic. Ben, do you know?
Yeah, it's probably just some sort of conjuration.
Abjuration?
It would
have to be abjuration.
Transmutation?
Yeah, maybe.
Transmutation. What's fly?
What? Oh, yeah,
the fly spell.
Well, guys, I took a good look.
Transmutation.
It is
It definitely
a
has
carpet.
A magic. It definitely, you would know that it definitely has a magic thing that you have to say.
We're going to have
transmutation.
We're going to have to go double check with Waldorf, but at least...
Give me perception checks on the rug, or investigation checks.
Okay.
8. unless I have advantage, because they're helping me.
11.
Okay, so what were the scores on that?
Bad.
12.
Bad. Unless I have advantage, because they're helping.
I'll give you advantage, because they're helping.
Okay, then I crit with natural a 20. 26.
Okay. You notice that there's a small tag on the side of it with something written in a language that you don't understand.
Are you sure I don't understand
it? Well, okay, what are the languages that you speak?
I speak Common, Infernal, Halfling, and Undercommon.
You do not know what this says.
Okay. There is something written here, but I cannot read this language.
me see. Let me see. Gnomish?
Nope. You do not know how to read this.
Beats the shit out of Draconic? Me. Never mind.
Nope. Someone walks by and they're like, hey, what's going on?
We wanted to fly.
Then why are you sitting on a rug in the middle of the town?
Because we don't know the magic word. I just wanted to...
Well, how would you...
Can you read this tag?
The person looks down at the tag and he's like, I don't understand that language, but it says, and then he pulls out a helmet and he puts it on his head and he's like, he's like, it says Ankoret.
Oh shit, really, Sean?
Yeah.
oh my God. Ankoret?
And the moment you say that, the carpet lifts up off the ground with all of you guys on it. He's like, whoa!
It's a magic flying carpet!
Thanks, buddy.
He's like, y'all have fun with that.
Thanks!
Do I get any coin for helping you out? Because I did something cool.
Gave the last dude all my money.
Yeah, high five!
would you like to ride on it?
No, I'm afraid of heights and magic and pretty much everything.
High five!
All right, high five it is.
She gives him a really solid high five.
And yeah, you guys are floating about 5 feet off the ground currently.
Okay, now let's see what we can do with this. Forward.
It lurches forward. You feel like by grabbing the tassels on it, you can control it by veering it almost like a steering wheel. Forward, backward, left, right. Someone has to man the thing, but you have to give me an arcana check to be able to man it properly if you're trying to evade things. You can just kind of standard fly it without an arcana check, but if you're trying to do mm-hmm. things, maneuvers, and crazy shit to get away from something, you would feel like this would take an ability to be able to use.
Okay.
But you could kind of float it and learn it a little bit. What are you trying to do with it?
I think we're just playing on it and just learning how it works.
Yeah, and I think eventually we would, you know, have fun on that for a while and then sit down and maybe, you know, get some dinner and talk about what we're going to do as the SSSF. SSSF.
We should have dinner on the carpet.
Like a picnic?
Yeah, we should do a picnic in the air, Cam. Wouldn't that be cool?
I think this sounds like a great idea.
Okay.
See, Callus agrees.
I mean, you might notice that Callus seems uncharacteristically excited about flying around on this, so.
Why is Callus excited about it?
It's a flying carpet.
Yeah.
Is it just something that's fun, or?
It's something Callus always wanted to be able to do and never could.
Aww, that's sweet.
It makes
sweet.
Him think of his young boyhood as Callus. A little mini Cal.
So, floating above everything, you guys begin pulling rations out of your pack as you sit around and prep. As the sun begins to set in the east, the Fae Forest shifting in the west, and the mountains ominously to the north. You guys take in the splendor as you begin to eat and discuss plans for the dawn. And I think that's where we'll end this episode.
For the record, for the past like 40 minutes, I've been standing and rocking a baby. As always, you can keep in touch with the podcast by emailing us at sweet@turtle.fyi. You can join our Discord at turtle.fyi/discord. You can check out our awesome new website, which is still turtle.fyi. You can check out our new merch store, which is turtle.fyi/store. You can check out our shirts directly on Amazon, turtle.fyi/Amazon. Whole bunch of fun new stuff. And finally, you can also, of course, check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/tabletop. As always, you can follow us on Twitter @tabletopchamps. I'm @Fung.
I'm @Sean the DM.
I'm @TheVoidMan. The O is a zero.
I'm @RP_GGamer.
I'm @Nat20Stuff.
And I'm @TheNat1Lady.
Till next time. Toodles.
Bye.
Bye.